you're picking up, okay. All right. The first thing you do is you read that statement so that the tape has it on it.
I hereby give to the Buffalo Women's Oral History Project the tapes recorded on June 9th, 1984, for such educational and scholarly uses and purposes as the directors Elizabeth Kennedy and Madeline Davis shall determine. I further consent to the transcription and publication of any or all of this interview as educational and scholarly work require. I have been assured that only my first name, Bonnie, will be employed in any of these tapes. I understand that at some future date, the tapes will be housed in an archive chosen by the directors of the Buffalo Women's Oral History Project and will be available for public access governed by the rules of the archive. I give consent that these tapes be made available for research purposes immediately after the date of the last interview.
Great. Thank you. Okay. The question that I asked you before, knowing that we're writing a history of this community and that we're covering the 30s, 40s, 50s, and maybe the early 60s, what do you think it's most important for people to know about that community that you came out in, that you lived in those days?
I think probably how much it cost the women that had to fight the hardest to put us where we are now, because people should be made aware of what it cost them then and has cost them this many years later and will always cost them.
Uh-huh. What do you mean cost them?
I think those women had to give up a great deal to live as those times governed, as the rules dictated, and the roles dictated. So those women that were fighting the hardest were also fighting some, were giving up things in themselves. They were giving up a great deal.
What kind of things did you see that they gave up or had to give up?
Freedom in a lot of ways. When I think of that, I think of a woman that has decided in that period to be butch. Mm-hmm. And she still is a very soft person. And maybe she is also the kind of person that would absolutely adore to go lay and cry on somebody's shoulder. Well, she has to give that up because in those days they didn't do that. They weren't allowed to do that. And after all that time of not being able to maybe express themselves as they might have liked to at one point, some of them still can't. Even though the times have changed and the people that they're with, they still can't. And they're still paying, they still have so many scars from that period.
Mm-hmm.
The butches that have come through now, those are the ones that, to me, paid the most for that. So that we femmes could walk around in society.
Mm-hmm.
We could walk through society and live in any part of society without it costing us much at all.
You don't see that the femmes having had to give up anything in particular?
There are in other areas, though.
Okay.
We were certainly allowed our emotional outlets, because that also was expected. So we were allowed to do the crying, and if you felt like it. If you didn't, it was easier for us to get up and go out into a community type thing of straight people.
Okay.
If we were without our butches. Not if we were with them.
Because
as much as they were defending us, we were also defending them. And we were, I don't know about anybody else, but to me it felt a great deal like I was, even though that person I knew I could count on in any kind of a physical confrontation, I still felt like I was a wall between them and straight society, because I knew how much straight society could hurt that person that I was with just by cruelty, by words.
Mm-hmm.
And I always felt very protective when we would go out in any kind of straight, and I still do.
So you feel that you got some kind of privilege to go out without them.
No, I mean we could, where they could, without any problem, most of the time, if we wanted to walk out into a straight gathering,
yeah.
we wouldn't have any problems. I mean, we could walk up and talk to people, no problem.
As a couple?
No, as a single.
As a single, okay.
The minute we brought our butch into that same gathering,
mm-hmm.
it changed. The whole thing changed, unless we were with, you know, straight people that were aware or whatever. But it immediately changed. You know, someone right away, I would feel protective. You know, and it just wasn't the same.
What was it that made it change?
The fact that they, where some of those people just couldn't understand, so they had to make remarks or they had to look strange looks that you most of the time should be able to ignore. Most people, you know, ignore those kind of, I'm getting way off the track.
No, I think what I'm trying to find out is, what was it about a couple, and you're talking about a butch femme couple, that made them the object of criticism?
Well, in that period, you did not boast your lesbianism unless it was in your community.
Uh-huh.
If you did, I mean, if you wanted to, and if you did, you were the subject of a great deal of problems
mm-hmm.
from the straight community.
So if you weren't boasting your lesbianism, then what was it that people were critical of?
You weren't. To be seen with your butch, you were boasting your lesbianism.
How?
By the way your butch looked.
Okay, that's what I'm trying to get you to say. I know what you're talking about, but the tape doesn't know.
Yeah. yeah.
Okay. So a butch was an obvious-looking person.
Yes.
An obvious-looking lesbian in the community. And when you were with that woman who looked more obvious,
your relationships in society were limited.
Mm-hmm.
The places you could go as a couple were limited. Restaurants. When was the last time you went into a hotel or a motel, you and your butch in those days, and tried to check into a room? And or if you were with...
That ever happened to you?
Oh, yeah.
Can you tell an incident?
I got very rude. I just got very rude and said it really was none of his business. You know, he either rented me a room or we'd go find a policeman, and, you know, I got very angry.
What time period are you talking about when this incident occurred?
That was... it would have to be during the period when the old... Well, it became the Betsy. I don't remember what it was before that.
I forgot. Was the Betsy the Signet before?
I think so. Maybe that's what it was.
Okay, so the years we're talking about are... is that early 60s?
Later 60s, I think. Because I really wouldn't have been... In the early 60s, I wouldn't have been really old enough. I think probably I was still in convent. Probably in that period. I didn't become active, really, in active Buffalo community till I was 16.
Uh-huh.
But I started being actively gay when I was 13.
Okay. Let's start back there a little bit. How did that happen? when did you first figure that out?
My mother, at that period, had been gay for a couple of years. I wasn't surprised. It was nothing that she sat down and talked to me about. As far as I was concerned, that was a natural course of events. You know, there was just no problem with it at all.
How'd you know she was gay?
I think because of the way she interacted with her friend. I mean, she never did anything in front of us. You know, I mean, there was never an obvious show of affection. I took a look at that woman, and I knew immediately that she was definitely different. And my mother looked at her differently than she looked at my father. And I was glad, because my mother was miserable with him. You know, I mean, he was grand and everything, but she was miserable with him. So I didn't ask any questions.
Mm-hmm. How old were you then?
13, just turned 13.
All right. And what year is that? How old are you now?
36. Mm-hmm. So that would be 23 years ago. 61.
1961. Yeah, 61. At that time, were your parents still living together?
My father had moved out. Uh-huh. And so my mother was in the process of becoming gay and an alcoholic at the same day. It began on the same day and it ended on the same day.
That's interesting.
Yeah, she stopped drinking on the day she turned straight or whatever.
Uh-huh. But at that time, in 61, was your mother... Your mother had a woman friend.
Mm-hmm. She lived at the house.
And she lived with you and your mother?
Mm-hmm. And my sister.
Uh-huh.
Two sisters.
Your sister's younger or older?
One of them is 13 years younger. She was just a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one is 3 years younger.
Mm-hmm.
Which, yeah. But I left home. And it having nothing to do with her. You know, I mean her being gay.
You didn't leave home at 13?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you left home at 13? Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And obviously they found me, being 13 years old, and put me in a Catholic school for girls for 3 months.
Mm-hmm. You want to get some? It's okay, I can turn it off.
Unplug it.
Well, let me put the pause on, and okay. Then you can go do what you want. Okay. You left home at 13,
mm-hmm.
But it wasn't because your mother was gay.
No, it was because of her drinking. I could handle her being gay to me was fine. It was, you know, being an alcoholic that really was more than a person could take at that age.
Yeah.
So I ran away from home and was picked up a few days later and put in a Catholic school. And that's where I became actively gay.
Oh. How did you know you were gay? How'd you, what happened?
Oh, it's... I don't remember ever thinking about it. I don't remember making any conscious decision as
yeah.
I am gay. I remember this one girl, and I just grabbed her.
Aggressive,
right? I kind of... Yeah, I guess so. And that was the first girl I ever went with, and we went together for the amount of time, not even thinking about it. She had a boyfriend at home, and it was just a natural progression of things,
mm-hmm.
you know, finding little places to be alone and, you know, wrestling and everything else when you were that age, and breaking out of there 2 or 3 times together and going with my mother to the bars.
Mm-hmm. But with your mother to the bars?
My mother always took me to the bars, all of the bars, yes.
Uh-huh.
She always fed me incredibly nasty soda pop drinks when all I wanted was probably a drink.
Uh-huh. That's interesting. Your first woman that you were with in the... Was that Convent School in Buffalo?
It was Good Shepherd's.
Oh, yeah.
It was the drug center.
On High Street.
Best Street.
Best Street, mm-hmm. Right, Best Street. Yeah, Best near Jefferson. Uh-huh. Oh, my parents used to threaten me with that place.
It was
all the
beautiful
time.
Inside, you know.
Yeah,
I
know.
It really was a beautiful place. The nuns were absolutely wonderful. I mean, there was nothing there. They never beat you,
yeah.
You know, or anything like that. But it was a good experience.
Uh-huh. Did you actually have sex?
That day, yes.
That day that you grabbed that girl
mm-hmm.
for the first time at age
yes.
13, you had real honest to God sex.
Yes.
You know what it was.
Mm-hmm. Didn't even think about it. It was just a natural... I didn't think about it afterward. I mean, I didn't question or anything. There weren't any questions.
Had you ever had any kind of sex before
mm-hmm.
that? With men?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
One or two, if you could... No, you couldn't really use the word sex, because at that age it was more fumbling and being silly, but there still was sex, I guess.
Yes.
Like, I now I wouldn't call it sex,
uh-huh.
but for that period, I guess it was.
Yeah. How did you know what to do with her?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Were you the active mm-hmm. partner?
Yes. For a long time, when I first came out, I was the active partner. I never wanted to look it because I wanted it all, but I didn't want to have to pay for it.
What do you mean you wanted it all?
I wanted to be able to function in my professional life as I grew up and decided I wanted one. I wanted to function in both worlds. Uh-huh. I did not want to feel uncomfortable in either one. Uh-huh. And first of all, I wanted to be comfortable with myself. I am more comfortable, more feminine. Now, I tried looking more butch at one period in my life, and I cut my hair, and I did everything the butches were supposed to do in those days, and I have never been so uncomfortable or humiliated or embarrassed in my life.
Really?
I couldn't stand it. I couldn't stand it. All I wanted to do was run home and curl my hair and put some makeup on. I couldn't believe I was on the street without any makeup on. I wasn't comfortable. I wasn't comfortable. Uh-huh. I didn't care how I looked. It's just that I just wasn't comfortable with me.
Uh-huh. So you've always liked looking
more feminine.
Traditionally feminine. Uh-huh. What about the women you were first attracted to? What about that first woman you were attracted to? What was she like?
Very nondescript, really. She was very on my taste. She was just an incredibly bubbly, crazed person, just full of life. she was wild, and you knew that she was probably in my head. I picked her because I didn't think I would get a rejection from her, probably, because she was just gung-ho for anything you wanted to talk about or experiment with. Uh-huh. Lord, experiment, when we were that age.
How long did you carry on whatever it was you were carrying on with her?
Well, let's see, I was there for 3 years, and most of that period, I had to be switched to different sections because I kept running away, but we still would have communication between the two of us.
Was that your only relationship in the home?
Pretty much, because when that became known among the children, because in the first unit that they put me in, there were children. I mean, they were 13 and they were 14, but they were children.
Yeah.
And we were slightly ostracized from their little community, which was more than all right with me because I never have gotten along with children.
Uh-huh. So you were grown up real early, or felt like you were grown up pretty early?
I think because my mother and I grew up together. You know, she was only 17. And she was...
When she hit
you? Yeah.
Oh.
So there was, we grew up together. So by the time I was old enough to really be talking, we would be really talking.
Uh-huh.
And I probably would say I was never a child. There was no time for that.
Uh-huh.
I do it now. I have childish tantrums and things when those I should have had years ago. They work.
Then go for it. Do you think that your mother's... Okay. You said that your mother started coming out or having a lover when you were 13. It's 1961. Mm-hmm. Had she ever shown any kind of... romantic inclinations toward women that you noticed before that?
Not to anyone. Not to... it was a very Christian home, very religious. My mm-hmm. father was a deacon of a church. My mother at that period was... At the period that all this happened, she was still... had control of the entire youth group of that area. And she taught choir because she had an incredibly beautiful voice. And she used to sing for all these choirs and everything. And play piano. And so everything that happened was the religion stopped, my mother and father's marriage stopped, and all of a sudden my mother went from someone who never drank, or I never up to that point had I heard my mother even swear.
Mm-hmm. And it all changed at that point.
She started drinking, she started swearing, and she started seeing women.
Just the one. But in the same period, as she saw her first, and unfortunately, she had to get connected.
We're not that close to an airport. Mm-hmm. It's really close.
It's unusual. Mm-hmm. Her first butch that she became attached to, woman, was unbalanced in her self. She had had a great deal of mental problems, mm-hmm. and everything, and she was a married woman.
Mm-hmm.
And, but it was a very bad experience for my mother. I think had she been able to come out into gay life with a compassionate human being, I think everything would have been different for her. She still would have been happy. Yeah, because she was, there were a great deal of her gay life that she was happy.
Yeah. You said that the woman your mother came out with was butch. Did you know that then? Did you know that there was a...
I don't think I knew the word. Because I don't even think my mother knew the word. She had never, up to the, even for the first year they were together, she had never been to a gay bar. There were none,
yeah.
right where we were. But I knew, well, she dressed. She wore her hair in a severe DA,
mm-hmm.
very severe. And even though she wore feminine clothes, underneath those feminine clothes were a pair of men's jockey shorts, and you knew it because when she took those dresses off, she would walk around our house in her, just her jockey shorts.
She wore jockey shorts,
yes.
under dresses.
Under dresses.
That's mm-hmm. interesting.
Yes. She was not built well. I mean, so walking around in her jockey shorts, she pretended she was flat-chested. As far as she was concerned, she had no breasts. So when she was
out
of the dress...
How did you know that?
The way she walked around. You knew that she ignored them completely. She couldn't imagine what anybody was upset about.
She wear a bra?
No.
Huh.
No. She totally ignored the fact that you could tell with the clothes that she wore. She still, even the dresses that she bought, she ignored the fact that she had a breast. She didn't care. If the zipper was too tight in the back because of smashing and everything, that's too bad.
Did she ever wear anything to keep her breasts down? Like, we know
that
some women wore binders.
You know? She might have, but that I wouldn't know. I don't think so.
Uh-huh.
Because she was an RN. Even though she was Looney Tunes, she was an RN.
Uh-huh.
And she was always saying you shouldn't do mean things to your body. Of course, she was always trying to commit suicide, you know.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Did she eventually live with your mother?
Mm-hmm. For a very short period before I moved out, she lived there. She also had two children. And I still had a great deal of privacy. My mother always made absolutely sure that I had
mm-hmm.
the privacy that I needed. So even though there were more people, she moved in. Even her husband moved in for a while. Her husband and her two children.
Mm-hmm. How was that for you?
I stayed away from home a great deal. I would go to school, and then I took incredible walks. Or my mother had also bought me a lock for my door, and she had taken everything that I needed that was contraband, of course. My father wouldn't allow radios and music, but my mother always made sure I had a radio and a full-length mirror that I could practice my dancing that my father didn't know about, and a lock for my door.
Mm-hmm.
So I could go in there and spend the entire day in there and not have to leave.
Mm-hmm.
I did that a great deal.
I think they're going to bomb Buffalo.
Not before Bobby says
that. Right. Not before we finish with this day.
Yes.
So you recognized right away that there was a difference in the way your mother and this woman were a couple together.
Mm-hmm.
That each one had a different part to play in this couple.
That seemed natural. It seemed mm-hmm. that there should be at that period to me.
Mm-hmm.
That seemed right. You know, one of them should be more obviously aggressive than the other.
Uh-huh. And then you went off to this, to Good Shepherd, and you started your gay life, and you were aggressive. Well, first of all, do you think that your mother's interest in women had anything to do with your interest in women?
No. Because there were no obvious scenes of any relationship really between them until the very end, when there was a great deal of fighting. But up until that point, there was no... my mother didn't let us see any of the arguments between my father, so that there could be any dislike for him, and she didn't let, you know, any arguments or whatever with her friend cause any problems. But I don't think her being gay, because I went out with a couple of men. I dated a couple times, and little backseat of car type attempts at sex. And I was bored. I wasn't in any kind of pain. I was impatient. I couldn't understand why they were so stupid. You know, and why, because, and I certainly wasn't going to tell them. I wasn't my part to be telling them what to do. I mean, if they couldn't figure it out, I wasn't interested. I was self-sufficient as far as
your age, or close to?
No, older.
Oh, sure, they had cars. You were 13, mm-hmm. So they were at least 16.
Oh, yeah. Well, they were older than that because I couldn't stand that age group, so I always went higher for 20-year-olds or higher.
Uh-huh. And at 20, they still didn't know what they were doing.
I don't think they know what they're doing most of the time.
Okay. Well. Okay, so you saw this kind of differential type relationship between your mother and this woman. Then you go off to the Good Shepherd, and you, in your first relationship, become the aggressor.
How did that feel? I am still the aggressor. The fact that I was feminine those days, I was still the aggressor then, too.
Okay, then what are we talking about? What does it mean to be the aggressor?
To make the initial moves without being obvious.
How do you do that?
I don't know. I could never write it down and tell anybody that. But that, the only thing I know is that if I would not be with anybody that I hadn't already chosen. I had already said to myself, am I attracted to this person? Do I want to be with them or whatever? So they didn't just walk over and pluck me up out of a group. I had been waiting in that group for them to finally realize that I was standing around waiting to get their attention.
Did you do anything to get their attention?
Oh, yes.
What do you do?
Take all my clothes off and run naked to the room. That usually works.
I bet. I sure probably would notice that was happening. No, really, what do you
eye contact was the major, and it always worked. Great deal of eye contact, because the kind of people I'm usually attracted to are people who are similar in their thoughts and the way they think about things and the way their feelings are. So I usually know the kind of people that I can get to.
One of the things that we're real interested in finding out is flirtation and courtship stuff, how it works. Okay, you're talking about eye contact. I mean, people stare at each other in different ways for different reasons, you know, and when you started coming out, this is after the Good Shepherd, you know, when you were what,
16,
did you start going to bars then?
Right away.
Okay, what was the bar you would have gone to then? Eagle Inn?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You're in the Eagle Inn, and you see somebody that you want. How does it work? How does the eye contact work? I mean, like, I guess what I'm asking is, do you do different things with eye contact from the things that they would do to you?
I want to see, when I'm getting eye contact, I want to see what's inside. That's what I'm looking for. Now, if that person turns around and looks at me, and I can tell there's just nobody home, they're not interested, you know, then, you know, I that should just forget it. Uh-huh. But you can usually tell because there's something in those eyes that is saying, yes, I am interested too, because that's what you're asking. That's what your eyes are asking right then. Okay. And you can smile, or you can continue to tease, especially if that person you really feel they're interested.
How do you do that? How do you tease?
Smile and walk away.
Uh-huh.
You know, and then pop up when they're not looking, just pop up every time they go to turn around, and then just smile and walk away.
Uh-huh.
So, and if they're interested, then they have made the first move by coming up to you.
Oh, okay. So you do...